What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Earl, you sure this built anime.
See?
Come on.
So he kept his inside. I verbalized my feelings.
You don't know what I'm thinking, man. You don't know.
I know what you were looking, man.
Yeah, sure.
So?
I mean.
Just because you're on a diet doesn't mean you can't look at the menu, right?
I'm not on a diet.
Yes, we are.
I'm not on a diet in real, like a real food diet.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, it went over my head. I just...
built anime. Okay, we get it, homie. So what? You can admire from afar. Nice.
Oh, I got the analogy now. I'm sorry, yes.
Sculpted, chiseled. You show this built anime.
That's the only diet I'm on is that,
right.
That diet.
Yeah.
Any other diet, I'm just...
No, I would agree.
Looking to eat.
But you showed... you showed... That you're an oak, because Ike brought some donuts in here, and
yeah.
You said, no, they look good. That chocolatey goodness all over them.
Yeah. Mm. I ate two cookies last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I had no dessert. I was no dessert at dinner.
Oh, come on. But you had a 6,000-calorie meal.
And no dessert.
So what? No dessert.
Yeah, that cream corn made up for dessert.
Yeah, seriously. Right. Cream corn, cream spinach, bacon, iceberg lettuce
so
wedge, and a porterhouse for two that you ate. 75% of?
Yeah.
Alcohol. You're trumpeting your...
And no dessert. No alcohol and no dessert.
Wow.
No alcohol during the week. You can't drink during the week.
I thought, okay. I don't know.
Saturday night.
That's the night? After a long day of work?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You still go out with the crew?
Sometimes we will. But now that I figured that I can watch all the games at home, I just go home and... Have a few libations, sit on the couch.
You
I
can have college football.
What does he drink? He probably drinks something like an apple teeny.
I'm not sure. I think Rick's a beer guy.
Is he?
Yeah. I don't recall hanging out with him where we've had libations. Oh, maybe at the airport when we got stuck in Birmingham, the weather delay. I think he was a beer dude.
Get all sauced up and try to steal someone's guitar.
The intensity could make one quiver.
Quiver! Yes. All right, so week 5 in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. And a couple of interesting games and a whole bunch of ones that aren't all that interesting. But, which is basically every week, now that I think about it. Let's look at the good interesting before we get to the bad interesting. And I'm going to start with Sunday Night Football and Chiefs-Texans. Because that, to me, is the most interesting game of the slate. Yeah, Packers-Cowboys, sure. That's always really interesting. Mm-hmm. But I kind of know what I'm going to get for both those teams. Could end up being a great game. I don't know what I'm going to get out of Chiefs Texans, and that's what makes it so exciting.
Right.
Now, the Kansas City Chiefs have been unbelievable on both sides of the ball, and they're walking into a place that's got a defense that has underachieved a little bit, but at home should be better, and a quarterback who has looked like the best player in football for 2 weeks in Deshaun Watson. And how is that going to play? Is this is going to be for the Houston Texans? Are they ready for primetime moment? Sunday Night Football, Deshaun Watson, the team that's got the best record in football that is universally looked at as the best team in football, and how are they going to show up? And I have faith that they're going to be right there with them. I still think the Chiefs will win the game. I think this is going to be an exciting game and one that'll be right there close down to the finish.
Yeah, very interesting matchup. And we've seen these two in the playoffs before, of course. But now with the new faces on both sides of the ball, you know the Chiefs are going to come in and want to establish the run. Even though they have all these weapons now in the passing game, you want to be able to establish the run, something Tennessee could not do a week ago other than Mariota taking off for a long a little gallop into the end zone. And Alex Smith will have to use his legs again in this ball game as he did to evade pressure versus Washington in that Monday night ball game. But this defense, having seen a very athletic quarterback the week prior, that should bode well for the Texans. Offensively, Deshaun Watson, you got to get away from Houston. you got to get away from this pressure that the Chiefs are going to bring, and he's adept at that. And when you have these rookies, you just have to see how they adjust from week to week, because it is an adjustment. Sometimes it's a wholesale adjustment from team to team. And I think you'll get that this week. I would lean towards the Texans at home. I knowing this quarterback from his college days and how he's so even keeled, and seeing him in person back to back years in our studios and just talking to him, he's not going to get the big head. He's not going to get over his skis. He's going to go about his business in the same manner. And I don't think you'll see a huge disparity in the performance you witnessed last week to this week. Matter of fact, I think he may even get better. So I would lean towards the Texans at home.
Yeah, and that would be, man, if Deshaun Watson takes out the team that has been better than anybody else in the NFL on prime time. I mean, all the stuff we've been saying. I mean, he already went toe-to-toe with the New England Patriots and almost won that game, Tom Brady, on the road. And now you've got this one, and that's going to be one hell of a story. Another team to really keep an eye on, up and coming, like the Houston Texans. And the Houston Texans, of course, it's funny because you talk about them differently because, yeah, we've seen them go to the playoffs, and, yeah, we saw them even win a playoff game last year under some different circumstances. But they're just way more exciting with Deshaun Watson. You just feel like they're an up-and-coming team. Even if they don't get as far as the divisional round this year, you just feel like they're more of a team that's turning the page because of what they have at the quarterback position as opposed to last year. But the L.A. Rams, and you've got the old guard, new guard thing happening in that division with the Seattle Seahawks traveling to L.A. to take on the Rams. And the sense that I'm getting from this game, just the gut feeling, is the not so fast guys. That's the feeling I'm getting. The Seahawks, like, all right, what you're doing is cute, and we haven't played up to our potential this year, and now you're really going to see that. Now, if you look at the Rams and what they've done, they put up a ton of points, but they did it to the Colts, and the Colts are pathetic. They lost to the Redskins, who looked pretty damn good.
Yes.
They put up a ton of points in that great Thursday night game against the 49ers, whose roster is still pretty bare. And then they did it to the Dallas Cowboys, who have had some major defensive deficiencies. Now, that was a really, really impressive victory at Dallas. But now to come back home, face Seattle, a defense that really wants to get back on track, and an offense that has just been sputtering and sputtering and sputtering. And LA, their defense has been bad. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Even in their win, their last two wins, they've given up 39 and 30 points. So I think that Seattle can get right on the offensive end, and that's going to come down to which defense is going to be better, and you would give the edge to Seattle. What I think is going to be really interesting in this game, too, to keep an eye on, is we talk so much about football working in L.A., more with the Chargers and the Rams, but if that place, and I know it's old as hell, I think you even played there.
I did.
How old it is.
College and pro.
But if that place isn't rocking on Sunday, you know, it was a 4:05 kick out on the East Coast, of course, 1 o'clock out there, but still, going nuts for that team. After back-to-back unbelievable wins, taking out the Cowboys, how exciting they've been with Goff and Gurley, and just a different team. with Seattle coming in there, that place better be bananas on Sunday.
Well, I think it will. They should. They should be. They should view this team as a different 3-1 team than they viewed a season ago. I think this is something you can buy into the way they're performing. You mentioned they gave up 30 points last week, only 6 in the second half to my Dallas Cowboys. So they figured some things out at halftime, and then they put it on Dallas, and they were able to put pressure on them. They didn't allow them to run the rock, and then they were able to pin their ears back and get after Dak Prescott and force him to win this ball game with his arm. And, of course, the Cowboys couldn't do that. And I see the same thing happening here. Russell Wilson would be running for his life. He has already this young season because he has a porous offensive line. There's no way they're going to be able to stop these horses up front from Brockers, Aaron Donald, your guy out of Pitt. I mean, these cats are playing with this newfound fervor with Wade Phillips now manning that defense. Unless they're playing your team, it's fun to watch them. And
Zeke ran all over him last week, though.
Well, Zeke had some earlier runs, and then you had the big one by
Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris, right. But other than that, they did nothing in the second half. The Cowboys couldn't score. Fine, run on me, but can you score?
Carlos Hyde the week before was tearing them up.
Can you score? And they did more than the 49ers than the Cowboys did. But the Rams still won the ball game, and I see them winning this one. Seattle cannot block up front. They cannot block their defense. I like where they're playing right now, especially that second half. We'll see if it was a one-off. Yes, they've given up some points, but to go in at halftime after giving up 24 in the first half and make the adjustments they did and then shut the Cowboys down from a scoring standpoint, that was impressive.
And speaking of Dallas, they get the Packers. It's going to be one of these 4 o'clock games that everybody's going to be watching. It's the highest over-under number of the week in week 5 at 52. The next highest is 46.5, and that's in Seattle and L.A. in that game. So 6 points higher than any other game on the slate. So, I mean, I would be really, really surprised if this isn't 35-31, something like that.
Really?
I really think that both teams are going to put a major
points. I can see Aaron Rodgers doing it. I don't know about Dallas. I just don't know. There's so much inconsistency at wide receiver. You had Mr. First Down Celebration guy himself, Terrence Williams, drops. Bryce Butler, after fantastic catches 2 weeks ago, I didn't see any of that in the ball game last week versus the Rams. Dez Bryant, Dez, I think he had a touchdown last week. But I just didn't see any consistency in the passing game. And you know everyone's going to do the same thing. It's the same game plan when you're playing the Cowboys. Stop Ezekiel Elliott. Stop the running game. And now force Dak to defeat you. And that offensive line for Cowboys has not played one all-around consistent game yet. 4 games in the season, and there's so many holes up front. I don't know what the hell's going on with that offensive line, but they haven't been as stoic as we have witnessed in the past. So I can see Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and the way he's able to maneuver and extend plays, post some good numbers, especially on this secondary that is still a work in progress. Let's hope Sean Lee plays, and that'll help out the linebacking core. And DeMarcus Lawrence, no sacks last week. He's got to get back to his sacking ways and get after Aaron Rodgers. But easier said than done.
There's a couple other intriguing matchups. One is between a couple 0-4 teams because I want to see which team is going to actually get off the schneid with the Chargers and the Giants. But, I mean, neither one of them are going to go to the playoffs, so it's almost like who cares. But stop me if there's a game in here that you really feel like is an interesting matchup you want to talk about. 49ers-Colts.
No.
Jaguars-Steelers.
No.
Bills-Bengals.
Yeah.
You like Bills Bengals?
Let's see what the Bengals are working with. I know it was Cleveland last week, but still, that was a goose egg, right? Didn't they shut them out?
No, they got a touchdown late.
Oh, they got a touchdown late. Right. Well, damn near shut out. Where's that game? It's at Buffalo?
No, it's in Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati, okay. Won a game at home, showed his newfangled offense, one that can score touchdowns now, using Giovanni Bernard and Joe Mixon out of that backfield. Get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. Make it easier on Andy Dalton, and that's what they've been doing. Yes, you still want to see them target A.J. Green, but you got these playmakers out of the backfield, man. Get those guys in space and let them do some work. That's what they've been doing. And the Bills, you know, we'll see if Shady McCoy, anybody doubts him and the Bills this weekend as they did last week, and he let them know about that going down to Atlanta. And you know, this season thus far has been so hard to figure out these teams because you want to jump on the bandwagon, and then they'll go and lay an egg after impressing you 1 week and then don't follow up. With a victory the next week. So back-to-back road trips for Buffalo. I like this. I would be interested in watching the Bills and Cincinnati. I wish it was in Buffalo. That's a better environment.
Yeah, I love the Bengals in this game. Absolutely love them. And they're only favored by 3 points. And I know what we saw from Buffalo last week going into Atlanta and winning that game, which was a shocker. But they couldn't do anything offensively, Atlanta, once Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu went down, and that defense played really, really well with the hampered Falcons offense. And the Falcons also, I mean, when you don't have the pass rush that they've had at their best, and when Vic Beasley is out, they're a different defense. I mean, you're basically, it's a castrato, as I said. You're cutting the nuts off of the Falcons when you don't have Vic Beasley and Julio Jones. Oh. They're a totally different team. So that's fool's gold with me with the Buffalo Bills. They're 3-1. They'll still finish the season 6-10. I really don't think that they're any good.
So the Falcon is a steer.
Yeah, at least without those guys.
And what was the problem for the Falcons prior to drafting Vic Beasley? They needed edge rushers. They couldn't get anywhere in the playoffs because they had no one that could get after the quarterback. That was a big glaring void on their defense, and they go out and they draft Vic Beasley, and their fortunes change. They get to the Super Bowl, and then they screw that up. So, I would agree with you. As long as he's out and not applying true pressure to opposing teams' quarterbacks, it's going to be tough duty for this defense of the Falcons.
And Titans, Dolphins. No. No.
No.
Ravens, Raiders. E.J. Manuel.
Yeah, E.J.'s had a week to be the number one guy in that offense. So,
and the Ravens that bad, maybe. Yeah. A little something there.
I'm not intrigued by the matchup. No.
Jets, Browns. Jets, chance to go over 500. No.
No.
Okay. Chargers, Giants, we touched on.
Yeah, I got to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that, man. Come on, Anthony Lynn. Get a W, man. Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
Panthers, Lions.
Yeah. Considering the week Cam Newton's had, yeah. And I thought the Lions would lose. Was it Minnesota last week? Yeah, I thought they would lose to Minnesota, and they're playing some good ball. Well,
they lost Dalvin Cook.
Sam
Bradford's still out.
And I understand. But Cam Newton and the Lions, yes. That would be intriguing.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, the Lions have a real opportunity here to have a great year, and we'll see if that continues. And Cardinals, Eagles. I mean, I think the Eagles. I really do like the Eagles. I mean, I think the Eagles are going to roll in this one at home.
Yeah, that one. I'm feeling that way because I don't know if I can really believe in this Cardinals defense. We mentioned Bryce Butler, the big catches he made. That was versus Arizona a couple weeks ago. I just don't know what to think of them this early in the season. They're a team that they're like fool's gold. You want to believe in them, and then they'll give you many reasons not to believe in them.
And the only one we didn't touch on is the Monday night game with the Vikings and the Bears, which, I mean, the Bears are no good, except for why it's going to be exciting is Trubisky. That's what's going to be exciting. We'll talk plenty about that coming up on Monday. All right, coming up next, a man I thought we'd never see again on television resurfaces. We're coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
The road ahead is brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. This weekend's race is at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Bank of America 500.
Mm-hmm. Who you like?
Charlotte Motor Speedway was designed and built by Bruton Smith and partner driver Curtis Turner in 1959.
Get out of here.
I'll give you two drivers.
Who you like?
Well, I think that Kyle Busch continues this hot streak. Back-to-back victories.
What?
Back-to-back victories.
You must be crazy.
I'm not crazy. It's the way I feel.
All right.
And also, I think, watch out, here's my dark horse. Enrique Baca.
Ooh. He's fast.
Enrique Baca.
Yeah.
He's 56th in the Xfinity Series.
There you go.
It's time to move up.
Come on.
Time to move
up. Is he going to be even in the field?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Advance Auto Parts introduces speed perks. Spend $100 and get $20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards to carry. No points to keep track of. No nonsense.
That's right. Dale, yeah. Enrique.
So,
vamanos.
Vamanos bogus.
Yes. Gracias, mis amigos. Two Met fans couldn't jinx the Yankees in the AL wildcard game, so we sent an actual Met to take care of things last night in Cleveland.
Here's the 0-1. Swung on, and there's a high fly ball, deep right field. Back is Judge, and that ball is a home run. Two-run shot for Jay Bruce. 3-0 Tribe.
That's Jim Rosenhaus on Indians Radio. Bruce.
What's Rosenhaus do? Doesn't Tom Hamilton do those games?
I guess Tom gets a break somewhere in the middle innings.
Oh, man. Rosenhaus got the Bruce homer, but that wasn't... Yeah, I guess it was middle innings, yeah.
Bruce had a sack fly while Trevor Bauer, Andrew Miller, and Cody Allen combined for a three-hit shutout. 4-0 the final over the Yankees in Game 1 in Cleveland. Yesterday began with the Astros blitzing the Red Sox 8-2 in their Game 1 in Houston. AL batting champ Jose Altuve went deep three times, but that doesn't matter anymore.
His homer don't count for
today,
so we gotta go out there and try to you know win the game again.
Yeah, we were told not to use tomorrow and last night in cuts because it confused people time wise. So
yeah, really
added in things like that.
The guy who's been doing this forever, John Minko, next door, when he does that, he goes, "Tomorrow is today." That's how he comes out of the cut.
Which I do because I grew up listening to Mink.
That's his thing. Many people did.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is today.
Yeah, and like, tomorrow we got to go out there and do what we have to do. Tomorrow is today.
All right.
I mean, it's a little cumbersome.
But yeah. Mm. But I also think listeners are mostly smart, and they understand when a player is talking about it's after a game. So when he says tomorrow, they can make the jump themselves that it's now today.
Yeah, tomorrow is today.
Sometimes you want a conda.
We might overthink things sometimes. Game like two of that series is at 2:05 Eastern this afternoon. The Yankees and Indians play at 5. Then it's game one for the Cubs and Nats in D.C. at 7:30. And then the Diamondbacks and Dodgers in L.A. at 10:30. Arizona coach/translator Ariel Prieto apologizing for wearing an Apple Watch in the dugout during the NL wildcard game. He says the watch was in airplane mode, but MLB is investigating anyway.
He went on a damn plane!
After punishing the Red Sox for stealing signs with smartwatches. Plenty of blame to go around after losing on Thursday Night Football, but mostly on offense and special teams.
You win and lose it as a team, but the defense did their fair share.
Bucks head coach Dirk Koetter giving his D a pass as they're holding the Patriots to 4 field goals and a Tom Brady touchdown pass. The 19-14 loss included Nick Folk missing 3 field goals, Cameron Brait dropped a touchdown pass, and an ugly incompletion at the goal line as time expired. The Pats are 3-2. The Bucks dropped to 2-2. Raider QB Derek Carr threw during practice yesterday. He is still not expected to play this weekend, but maybe his absence from that transverse process fracture in his back will not be too long. College football, number 24 NC State stayed hot with a 39-25 win over number 17 Louisville. The Wolfpack starting 3-0 in ACC play for the first time in 15 seasons. LeBron James went through his first full practice since twisting his left ankle in practice last week. Yesterday, he could play tonight against the Pacers. The Detroit Red Wings won the first game in their new Little Caesars Arena, 4-2 over the Wild, and the Kings kept Wayne Simmons and the rest of the Flyers scoreless in a 2-0 final in L.A. Boys?
All right, Bogus, thanks.
Thank you, Bogus.
What is that? Do you hear this sound?
I know, it's not a drill.
There's a bank heist going on behind us somewhere. Dudes are coming through the ceiling.
Stop the hammering! Who's got a hammer?
I do, Lawrence. I'm sorry. I am now holstering my hammer.
Who's got a jackhammer, it sounds like?
That's a different sound.
Yeah.
Stop the hammering!
Maybe. Wait.
Nobody can hear that on the air.
But wow.
It's drilling of some sort,
is
I think.
Is it drilling?
Open up the door, Bo. See if it gets any louder. Put a microphone over there. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can hear that. Do you hear that?
Drill, baby, drill. Oh!
Sounds like a dentist.
Yeah, it does. Now spit. Damn. Got some longevity with that one.
I'll go down to the damn floor myself and stop it. Keep the damn commercial break going.
Yeah! Break go longer than usual, because I'm going to stop this hammering. Okay?
Wow.
Stop the hammering!
Okay, I heard you! Derek!
I can't
wait. Trying to get your new set ready.
Cannot wait till this construction.
It's looking pretty good.
Over with.
Coming a long way, man.
Yeah, except for
doors
when
now?
They didn't leave space for the candy machine in the little mini kitchen.
So only the...
They put the tabletop all the way across from wall to wall instead of like leaving a little cutout for the machine. So the machine's down the middle of the space.
They can fix that, man.
I'm sure they could fix it, but I want to.
Come on, you're too critical, man. Those guys have been working day and night, 24/7.
Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
They've been hammering away, man, for us, dog. Come on.
Where is it? Who's got a hammer? Where is it? All right, coming up next, Cam Newton apologizes for his remarks to that reporter. We're going to play those remarks, and Brian's going to tell you what Cam really wanted to say while he was apologizing. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
So after the Cam Newton, it's funny to me that a woman is talking about routes, or a female, as he says, talking about routes after he did that. Dannon cut ties with him. He's no longer a spokesperson for Oikos Yogurt.
Dannon Oikos Yogurt. Come on.
And they went digging through this Jordan Rodriguez Twitter account and found some stuff from 5 or 6 years ago that wasn't all that flattering. She was laughing at her dad's, quote, racist jokes.
Oh.
And then tweeted out some stuff.
He's one of them.
Including the N-word with an A at the end, which I thought might have been some lyrics, but I wasn't sure. Mm. So she apologized for that. So,
He's the best. Racist jokes the whole drive home.
Talking about her father. Yeah,
great. Love that. He's the best.
So after all this happened yesterday, Cam Newton took to social media and posted a video apologizing. So I thought we'd play some of this apology, and then we'll hear what Cam said, and then Brian will tell us what Cam really wanted to say. All right? So we'll play you a little bit, and then Pete will stop it, and then you tell us what he really was thinking.
Yes,
okay?
All
right, here we go. Go ahead.
After careful thought, I understand that my word choice was extremely degrading and disrespectful to women.
Yeah, see, what happened was when the word came to front of my mouth, I should have shut my mouth closed, but then they came out and I said, damn, why I say that? That was wrong.
And to be honest, that was not my intentions. And if you are a person who took offense to what I said, I sincerely apologize to you.
See, yeah, if and only if this hurt you, because I don't really believe it hurt a lot of y'all out there, because y'all say stuff like this all the time. But if you happen to be in that number and this bothered you, I sincerely apologize. Yeah.
I'm a man who tries to be a positive role model in my community and tries to use my platform to inspire others.
See, I'm a dude that I'm trying to be a good dude. I'm trying to be a better man, but sometimes I get tough. It's hard out here in these streets, but I'm trying real, real hard, Ringo, you know, to be that better man and to be a model. No, just a model. That's why I wear the crazy clothes, because I want to be a model. Yeah, that's it. That's enough. Yeah, I'm a model.
And I take ownership to everything that comes with that. And what I did was extremely unacceptable. I'm a father to two beautiful daughters. And at their age, I try to instill in them that they can do and be anything that they want to be.
See, I got some baby mamas. And I tell my baby's mama to tell my babies that y'all be good and you can accomplish anything you want. Yeah, I know there's going to be some hurdles. There's going to be some good days. There's going to be some bad days. But you my babies. And so baby mama, tell my babies, y'all, come on. You can do this. You can handle this. I made it. You can make it. All right?
All right, one more.
And the fact that during this whole process, I've already lost sponsors and countless fans, I realized that the joke is really on me. And I've learned a valuable lesson from this. And to the young people who see this, I hope that you learn something from this as well.
damn, younger people, really? I mean, I got all these damn brothers and sisters out here slopping up that yogurt, man. Eating healthy. You gonna do this to me, really? You just went too far. I'm sorry, okay? I said I'm sorry, and I want my damn yogurt sponsorship back, all right? Where the brothers, where they gonna go now? They can't go back to that pudding, man. You know what happened to that spokesperson? Come on. Oh. Dang.
They went right to Deshaun Watson. That's what they did. Oikos. They're like, we got a new one.
Hey, you're that was an overreaction, really, on the part of Dan. And this apology should have come quicker. I'll admit that. And what I like about the apologies, that he didn't read anything. This was from the heart, truly from the heart. He spoke to the people.
Do we know that he didn't read anything?
He wasn't reading anything. That was straight from his heart. That wasn't done by a PR anybody, I don't believe. So it seemed contrite, and it just could have come sooner.
Yeah, and this was something that, as I mentioned when it first happened, you know, we as a sports-consuming society like to take an event and then, I guess for lack of a better term, blow it up into something that is larger than what it is. And that's what really bothered me about this. Cam Newton made a sexist comment that he needed to understand why it was bad and apologize for. That's what that was.
Right.
And he did. Now, it does not mean that every female reporter for teams, whether it be the NFL or anywhere else, are being disrespected on a daily basis by athletes. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of examples to the contrary. So when people made that leap, that bothered me. This needs to be looked at as an isolated incident because I don't see a lot of that happening. This was bad. This, and I'm not giving him any sort of pass. Yeah. I'm just saying we're talking about him, and he went out and apologized, and I think hopefully that wasn't just lip service, and he understands now and feels differently about the whole situation.
We tend to assign a lot of things to one guy's transgressions to the whole lot, and that's been going on since the beginning of time, especially in black folks' world. When Brian Kelly, who I'm a fan of, when he was, sort of dismissive and rude to the female reporter after the loss to Georgia. They didn't say all head coaches are like that. That was just Brian Kelly's mess. He stepped in it, and this was Cam Newton's mess. He stepped in it, and he has since apologized. That's it. End of story. And we said this the day after it happened. All he needs to do is come out and issue an apology and move on from this. This is a one-off, and we have not heard or ever seen him being rude or disparaging women previously. So
he did call a female reporter sweetheart once in a...
What's wrong with sweetheart?
I don't know.
Was it done in a manner in which...
Debatable.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm just pointing that out. I'm not saying that the guy is sexist all the time. I'm just saying there was another incident once that people pointed to.
It's funny. We've had people say other things that have been very disparaging, and yet nothing's done to them. They don't feel the brunt of the public ire, and yet Cam Newton here stepped in it, issues the apology. We should be done with it. He did the right thing by doing the apology. Didn't come soon enough, but he did it. It's over.
I mean, it sounded like he understood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what, because there's apologies and then there's apologies.
Right. That's where you're forced to, and he may have, someone may have gotten in his ear, and Cam, you don't understand the gravity of the situation and what you said, and finally it resonated with him, what he had said, and he went out, and I don't believe he was reading anything. That seemed like that was coming from the heart. And he issued that apology once he had a full grasp of what had occurred here. And maybe you could say, the critics will say, well, he had to do it because he was losing sponsors. Well, he lost one sponsor. He still has Under Armour and Gatorade. And they came out and made statements, but they still support the man. And if we have a history of Cam Newton not allowing women to work in his foundation or not hiring women to do this or that and discriminating against women, that's one thing. What we have here is a guy standing up there and you using a poor choice of words and to say that it's funny hearing a woman talk about rights.
It was stupid and ignorant.
Right. That's
is
it.
What it was.
That's
and,
all it
and,
was.
And that's and it shouldn't have happened.
No.
And I think that and he apologized for it.
Yeah. He's good to go. Now go beat the Lions.
Yeah.
That's what you do, man.
And Cam, he did last week against the Patriots, but just talking about him on the field, has mm-hmm. not looked like that 2015 MVP
mm-hmm.
all but once last year. Yeah. I mean, it was really, since the Broncos muted him in the Super Bowl.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
He has not been the same.
Well,
so.
Yeah, he's been beaten up. He's coming off the surgery, and he looked the part. We were all wondering, is the Cam of old ever going to resurface? And he did last week.
Yeah, he did against a defense that looked a little bit better last night, but I still don't think that they've fixed their problems. And they've got a bunch of days off the Patriots, and then end up playing the Jets, and we'll see. I don't even know if that's going to be a good measuring stick.
Well,
for
I want to go back to Sean Lane and these tweets. Why now do you choose to go back and delete tweets from about your father from 3 or 4 years ago? Why didn't you do that immediately?
I don't know if she deleted them. Did she
apparently
delete?
You can't find them because I'm trying to find them. I think she found one of the four, but.
She never thought it would come back.
Okay, like, but still, you knew that was wrong. Or at least you should have known that was wrong for him to be saying what he was saying. And you say nothing to your pops. Okay, I know it's your pops and maybe kicks you out of the house or something because she's fairly young, 25. But come on. You can't allow that to happen. Dad, no. That's wrong. And now here you are covering a league where it's 70% black, and you.
Well, I didn't know if it was racist for black. I think
she used the N word.
Well, that was, but yeah. See, it was. You have to look at him though to get a better sense because it looked like it was. It wasn't. I don't know. It's impossible to defend this because now I'm in this rabbit hole. Well, I think it looked like she was talking about song lyrics and didn't have had A on the end of it. I know that it shouldn't be a difference. I'm just trying to justify this. Plays devil advocate when she was talking about the racist jokes. That was an entirely set of different tweets when they said they were driving through an Indian reservation. So,
yeah.
I mean, this, I can't believe. Dude, this is the whole, man. This just sucks.
It does.
This just sucks, doesn't it?
Yes! A waste of time, right?
It really is, because we don't learn anything from this.
No!
Everybody just looking to pull out the hammer and who's next, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's like.
It just goes around and round and round the hamster wheel. Boom, boom, boom.
And what do you learn? Honestly.
Mm.
And how many people that, like, tweeted in defense of the reporter, like, really, really had her back as opposed to wanted to make themselves look good?
They just wanted to pounce on Cam Newton. And then they wanted to sign his transgressions to every other NFL player of color. That's what they wanted.
When things like this happen and people are just there to, like, be like, I'm more offended than you are because of this. Like, come on, man. It's just, and I don't know. And this is when you talk about, are we going to get better with these things? When is it going to change? I mean, it's going to change when we focus on what matters in these situations. I mean, and we never do. We never focus on what matters. There's just going to be another one of these examples where nobody learns from anything and everybody's just really, really angry. And then you move on to the next one. All right, with the pitchforks and who's next. And I'm really, really angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I just don't know if we're ever going to get to a place where we're respecting one another to a point where it's acceptable.
Hopefully, one day, we may be long gone, but we can get there.
Well, who cares?
I may not get to the mountaintop with you.
I don't care what's happening after.
You don't care after
dead?
That? Oh,
I won't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're on your own.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I'll be busy.
Will you?
Trying to put out fires.
I will. I don't think.
It's going to be hot.
Oh, you're such a weirdo. All right. Coming up next.
That's the rumor. They say it's hot down there.
Tony Maserati is going to join us from the Sports Hub in Boston, 98.5. Red Sox, Patriots, a lot of stuff to talk about up there. So we'll get his thoughts on it. It's Gio and Jones. Keep it right here. Plenty more to come on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported in 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!